Here we are again, another Sunday night, and I am just so grateful that everyone takes the time to show up and to join together to remember the truth. So let's begin our call with a few moments of silence, bringing our attention from the external to the internal, and our minds is where we remember reality. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge by our request. Finding your willingness to loose the world from all we thought it was and offering our willingness to Holy Spirit. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Okay. Excuse me. So we are picking up in the course where we left off last week. If you have the CE edition, which is the edition I'm now reading from, we are on page 741, paragraph number 8. It begins with the sentence, "Your brother's holiness is sacrament and benediction unto you." That corresponds to the Sparkle edition, page 24, and it's the third full paragraph on the page. In the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, that corresponds to chapter 24, part 7, paragraph 56. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is chapter 24, part 6, paragraph 8. So in our reading for the past couple of weeks, we've been reading about, as I've mentioned before, this very interpersonal piece about the Course and our brothers and remembering God through our brothers and being willing to see the truth in our brothers. So we're going to continue with that theme tonight. So here we go. Your brother's holiness is sacrament and benediction unto you. His errors cannot withhold God's blessing from himself, nor you who see him truly. His mistakes can cause delay, which it is given you to take from him, that both may end a journey that has never been begun and needs no end. What never was is not a part of you. Yet will you think it is until you realize that it is not a part of him who stands beside you. He is the mirror of yourself, wherein you see the judgment you have laid on both of you. The Christ in you beholds his holiness. Your specialness looks on his body and beholds him not. And I'll pause there. So in a recent online class that I taught called How to Heal Anxiety, one of these slides in the class was an image of two bodies, and there was up at the head of each body, I had the word ego, and then an arrow between those two, like head to head, ego to ego. And then in the heart area, I had another arrow back and forth that was spirit to spirit. And this paragraph to me speaks to that graphic because where it says he is the mirror of yourself, wherein you see the judgment you have laid on both of you, if we are looking out from the ego, which again, there is no area of our perception it has not touched, if we're looking out from the ego, we are going to be seeing ego and reinforcing ego and not knowing the truth in our brother, therefore not knowing it in ourselves as well. However, when we come from that different place, when we come from the Christ in you, when we come from that Christ within, that is what joins with the Christ in the other person. And that's where then our brother mirrors back to us the truth. It might not be in his behavior, like his behavior, or might, you know, that might still be insane, but we're looking with a new type of vision where we are asked to look beyond his errors. Just like it says above, it was the second sentence, his errors cannot withhold God's blessing from himself. So God still blesses our brother, even if he's speaking or acting insanely. His errors cannot withhold God's blessing from himself, nor you who see him truly. So God's blessing will receive it as we are willing to see our brother truly, even if our brother is acting crazy. And then this next sentence is really profound. It says, his mistakes can cause delay, which it is given you to take from him, that both may end a journey that has never been begun and needs no end. So that kind of sounds like a hefty responsibility, right? That our brother might be behaving insanely and making mistakes, but it's given us to take from him those errors, that we both can end a journey that we never began and needs no end. And how do we do that? But again, it's our willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit in us, which then joins with the Holy Spirit in that other. We cannot do this alone. The Holy Spirit is everything. And I love then, I feel like I'm rambling, and I hope this is okay. This just really excites me. What never was is not a part of you. There is just another way of saying that our errors are not part of us. The body is not who we are. You know, what never was is not part of you. So any craziness, any fear, any hurt, it's not actually part of us. And it says, yet will you think it is until you realize that it is not a part of him who stands beside you. So we will think that those errors are, you know, part of us. We will still identify as a body. We will not know the Christ in us until we realize that his errors, our brother's errors, are not who he is, and that we can see and join with the Christ in him. So comments, questions, what is coming up in this first paragraph for you? And we can keep reading. I was looking for a pencil, and the pencil that I picked is this really fun, it's like a whole bunch of different rainbow, like, I don't know how to describe it. I'm going to have a very colorful book by the end of this call. FYI, in case you wanted to know. Okay, let's read another paragraph. See him as what he is, that your deliverance may not be long. A senseless wandering, without a purpose and without accomplishment of any kind, is all the other choice can offer you. Futility of function not fulfilled will haunt you while your brother lies asleep, till what has been assigned to you is done and he is risen from the past. He who condemned himself, and you as well, is given you to save from condemnation along with you. And both shall see God's glory in his Son, whom you mistook as flesh and bound to laws which have no power over him at all. Again, there's so many beautiful sentences in this paragraph. See him as what he is, that your deliverance may not be long. I love that. There is a statement that speaks to our purpose as miracle workers, to be willing to see the truth in our brother, that our deliverance may not be long, so that we will remember the truth more quickly. A senseless wandering without a purpose and without accomplishment of any kind is all the other choice can offer you. So sticking with the body's eyes, the ego's perceptions, the ego's beliefs, is like a senseless wandering without a purpose, without true feelings of accomplishment, and will be haunted by that feeling of not fulfilling our function while our brother lies asleep. And then this part of the sentence, till what has been assigned to you is done, and he has risen from the past. That speaks to me just of the relationships that we have in our lives, those who push our buttons, as well as those perhaps who we easily get along with. These are all assignments, and it is up to us, again, to heal. This is why we are here, to remember the Christ, to remember the truth. And so by seeing that in our brother, this is how we both wake up. I just love that. So I hope it's really clear, just this interpersonal piece about the Course that I feel like I am resonating now with more than ever before. Mm. Comments or questions so far? Any insights, anything coming up for you? Any sentences that stand out to you?
I have a thought. This is Susan over here in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Susan.
I was talking to, there's a daily radio show, you probably know about it. I think I've mentioned it on the call here, 1 to 2, Dr. Michael Rice and Dr. Tim Hayes read from the Course in Miracles, and then they talk about the Aramaic concept of forgiveness, which is totally the Course in Miracles. But one thing that had been bothering me, and Dr. Tim Hayes was hosting that day, is I have always felt that it was a matter of willpower and effort. And of course, I have to be willing, but willpower and effort to achieve that kind of openness to another person. And he said something that made a huge difference, and I wish I could remember his exact words, but he said it's a matter of uncovering something that's already there. You have this gift to connect. You have this gift to see the Christ in the other person. You have it. It's just a matter of sweeping away a few crumbs or dust or whatever to have that be available to you. And he said, you don't need to do anything. I don't know if that's helpful to anybody else, but it sure was great to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
He also said it about feeling joy. I've always thought, well, why am I not feeling joy? If I'm doing all these wonderful things, I should be feeling joy. And I've been crabappling and anxious and depressed and so forth off and on. And he said the same thing about that. He said, it's already there. You can't get it. You can't wrest it out of something. It's just there and it'll appear. I don't know, but why that was so helpful. I hope that connects in for others besides just me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm so glad that you said it. Sometimes, you know, we hear it in just a slightly clearer way than before, or, you know, the wording
mm-hmm.
is just a little bit different, or it's just the right time that maybe something we've heard just hits us. And
yeah.
So I find that really helpful. I love that.
Mm.
It is already there, already within us. What a relief, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's a big relief. Thank you for that, Susan. That was really helpful.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Anything coming up for anybody else so far? We can keep reading. We'll probably finish out this section tonight.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Amy. I think you're breaking up. I can hear. I heard you for a second.
Maybe.
Yeah, unfortunately, Amy, I think you're. Yes, I think so. Try again.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yes, that's Ren? Better.
Okay. Good. Sorry about that. My apologies.
No problem.
I just wanted to kind of these couple of paragraphs are. With my own personal experience with this, and I'm not feeling like I'm in this place right now, but the deepest and most profound experience I've had with this and with forgiveness has been where it was like my heart opened in this way to everything going on, not just people. You know, it would be like anything that I came across, you know, could be another driver in traffic, or it could be like my cat annoying me, or just, you know, something, some object being out of place that was annoying me. It's like as soon as I felt that kind of bit of disruption within myself, it's like I was guided to just go within to my heart and sit there with it until I felt my heart soften around it. And I felt just this melding with it and the love with it. And what occurred to me as I was practicing that was that, you know, with the whole idea of projecting what we can't, you know, accept the guilt and everything that we can't feel and accept within ourselves, it occurred to me that, like, I had put all these things that I came across in my life, I had projected them in this negative, you know, irritating place outside of me because I just wasn't able to sit with what I was feeling inside and the guilt and the heaviness of all of that, or whatever. It could be a huge range of emotions, from something really mild to something horrible. But then holding whatever that irritation or that extreme, you know, reaction of anger, whatever it was, holding that person or that thing just in gratitude, for thanking them for just taking that role and playing that role to, you know, come up into my life and remind me of what I'm not accepting within myself. And I don't know if that, like, makes sense or anything, but that's, reading that, it's almost like there's, like, to me, it's like, it feels like a little bit even of a deeper level of that. Not just like, not just connecting with them in that one place and like letting them free, but realizing that like we held them here, there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. I'm so grateful that you shared that. And I just want to comment on shifting into that feeling of gratitude and being thankful for the role that they played. It's almost like we can be grateful at times for others of shaking us up, because what you said, I think your words were that they were reminding you of what you're not accepting in yourself. I don't know if that was exactly how you said it, but there's a part of the course that says whatever you're not receiving, you know, in a relationship is what you're not giving. And so there it is. You know, if we're not receiving love, if we're not receiving a feeling of, you know, remembrance of the truth, it's because we're not giving it. It's because we're, you know, the ones that are holding them in place, holding them in their roles. So I love what you just reflected, because I think it definitely speaks very clearly to what we just read.
And also just one more, like, it can be really hard to do that, I think, with the people in your lives. But for me, it's helpful to even start with just like the objects. It's like, oh, my room is messy. What feelings is that bringing up within me? And then coming to that place with just the objects that are around me. And that, I find that it, like, if I can do things that will open my heart on like an easier level, in an easier way, then it naturally starts getting that momentum to allow me to do it with the things that are harder. You know, like I had that experience with a leaf blower outside that was annoying me, and it all of a sudden became like the most beautiful noise because it was giving me a chance to practice forgiveness, which sounds insane, but, you know, I feel like if form doesn't matter, why can't we do it with objects too? It doesn't just have to be
right.
the people relationships, you know?
Holy Spirit will even use a leaf blower to help us wake up. Like, I love that. I love that. We can literally repurpose everything, even a leaf blower. That's great. Oh, that's so great. Thank you so much, Amy. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I feel like I may have heard a voice before. Is there anybody else that wanted to share? Because otherwise I'll read the next paragraph too. Okay, we'll keep reading. Where do we go? I think I'm on paragraph 10. Okay, I'm just going to read the last sentence of the paragraph we just read, because it is referring to these laws. So I want us to just remind ourselves what these laws are. The last paragraph, the last sentence that we just read, and both shall see God's glory in his Son, whom you mistook as flesh, and bound to laws, the laws of the world, which have no power over him at all. Would you not gladly realize these laws are not for you? Then see him not as prisoner to them. It cannot be what governs part of God holds not for all the rest. You place yourself under the laws you see as ruling him. Think then how great the love of God for you must be, that he has given you a part of him to save from pain and give you happiness. And never doubt but that your specialness will disappear before the will of God, who loves each part of him with equal love and care. The Christ in you can see your brothers truly. And would you decide against the holiness he sees? Oh. Again, this is so beautiful. This is just reminding us that the laws of the world are not for us, and if we're holding our brother to them in any way, shape, or form, we're going to be bound to them. If we see him as not prisoner to them, that helps to release us. It cannot be what governs part of God holds not for all the rest. Think about that for a moment. Like, God does not know sickness. God does not know depression. God does not know anxiety. God does not know any of these things. And what governs part of God holds for all the rest. So if we are experiencing any of those states, we are simply misperceiving, because that truth, as Susan was saying before, the truth, it's already there. It's already there. We've just chosen to block it. And then this middle part of this paragraph is just so gorgeous. Think then how great the love of God for you must be, that he has given you a part of him. He's given you his insane son to save from pain and give you happiness. And that's a function that has been accomplished already, because it was over the instant that it happened. We just have to accept it. But that is our function. This is our function, to wake up through our brothers here. And the second to last sentence, the Christ in you can see your brothers truly. So just like Susan was saying earlier, we don't have to strain to do this or, you know, force it. The Christ in you can see your brothers truly. It's simply up to us to allow the Christ through. Oh, I love that. Questions or comments so far?
One thing that kind of occurs to me. Today's workbook lesson is, you are my goal, my Father, only you. So rather than even, if I have a situation at work that's really kind of rocked my foundation, it's a difficult situation. And what he's saying is here, where would I go but heaven? What could be a substitute for happiness? So if I make him my goal when I go in there tomorrow, and just not focus, you know, I can choose to make him my goal. His goal is happiness. His goal is not getting in the muck and mire and focusing on what's wrong and all of the problems. His goal is simplicity. He says, what treasure would I seek and find and keep that can compare with my identity, and would I rather live with fear than love? So the mistake for me is really focusing on what that person did wrong, what that person did, blah, 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 all of that. The real focus needs to, and I can choose, I have the ability to choose to focus on him and not that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Paula, a big, big yes to that. You just articulated that so perfectly. The goal should be God. The goal should be God. And if you're going in and that is your goal, that is maybe it's going to be a matter of holding steady for a bit, but that goal is going to shift the situation.
It's going to be a matter of bringing the Holy Spirit with me. It's going to be a matter
of
throughout the day asking
moment to moment
for help.
Mm-hmm.
Help
mm-hmm.
me to do this because I can't
mm-hmm.
do this on my own. I can't. But I can be aware enough to choose to allow Holy Spirit to guide me.
Yes, 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 yes. I love that. And Paula, you just inspired me to share. I shared weeks ago about a very challenging, ongoing family relationship that involved a lot of conflict, involved me getting repeatedly verbally attacked and blamed and all this stuff. And I've just been repeatedly going into this situation with the goal of God, and it is shifting. It is shifting. It's a process in this case. It's not instant, but I feel so certain of the outcome because I'm prioritizing God. I'm prioritizing peace. I'm prioritizing the Holy Spirit. I'm done with being right.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
That is the bottom line. My self-righteousness is what's putting me in hell in this situation.
Uh-huh.
It's like, forget it. This can be effortless accomplishment when I set God as my goal.
Yes, 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 yes. Effortless accomplishment. That is it.
Pray for me, Corinne.
And
pray for me.
We all will. And you know what, Paula? I'm like aligned with the confidence that this is all going to work out. You've had so many. I've known you for so many years now, and for so many times on this call, and even when we were in the in-person study group, you've shared many miracles that have come about in work. So I have no doubt that this is a beautiful another opportunity.
Another one.
Another one. Awesome. Shall we read another paragraph, or does anybody else want to share? Let's go ahead and read again. We have three paragraphs left in this section, so we'll definitely finish it out tonight. This evening. Okay, next paragraph. Specialness is the function that you gave yourself. It stands for you alone as self-created, self-maintained, in need of nothing, and unjoined with anything beyond the body. In its eyes, you are a separate universe with all the power to hold itself complete within itself, with every entry shut against intrusion and every window barred against the light. Always attacked and always furious, with anger always fully justified, you have pursued this goal with vigilance you never thought to yield, an effort that you never thought to cease. And all this grim determination was for this. You wanted specialness to be the truth. Oh, boy. This paragraph just painted quite a picture that specialness is the root of everything, you know, that we're hanging on to. We want to be special. I like being Corinne. I like, you know, being the orchestrator of my own little universe. It says here that your specialness, again, stands for you alone, self-created, self-maintained, in need of nothing, unjoined with anything beyond the body. You're a separate universe with all the power to hold yourself complete within yourself, every entry shut against intrusion, every window barred against the light. That is the state that that's why we came, was we wanted specialness to be the truth. And in this desire, we finally, all of us, I know, have gotten to this point of seeing just the futility of the world and wanting another way, being willing to question everything, including our own specialness. So, yeah, we're quite invested in it. I know I have an exercise in my book about listing out all the ways that we seek to be special, whether it's recognized at work or recognized for some accomplishment or living in a cool place or having cool clothes, whatever it may be. They're all forms of specialness. Not that we don't have to, not that we need to force ourselves to refrain from putting on cool clothes or going to take a vacation or move to a cool spot. It's about repurposing all of that. It's about repurposing everything that we've made and being willing to catch ourselves and be open to those times that we slip and are very aware that we're an ego again. So it always comes down to that willingness. Can anybody relate to this paragraph in any way? Anything stand out to you?
Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
In New York. I've been thinking about it in terms of, like, politics, because I still think about it a lot, like, all the time.
Uh-huh.
And in regards to specialness, I just think about how right everybody wants to be.
Yes.
You know? And so, like,
yep.
To me, I see that as a form of specialness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Each side wants to be right. It's just, it really has been striking me, you know, regardless of what side, you know, you might resonate with more, Democrat or Republican, like, they're both ego. They're both wholly, completely ego. And that desire for whatever side it is to be the right one, to, you know, both sides have their perceptions, and we know that all perception is faulty. So I agree with you that it's definitely, definitely related to specialness.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 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 yep.
And that doesn't allow for dialogue.
No, oh my gosh, you're so right. You are so spot on. Specialness, that should be written in this paragraph. Specialness does not allow for dialogue. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so true. Thank you for that. Oh, all right, let's read another paragraph.
Oh, can I add one thing, Corinne? This is Amy.
Sure, yeah.
Just one thing that I think about with specialness, too, is we tend to think of it, I think, in, like, the positive light, like, oh, I'm good in this way and I'm good in that way. But, I mean, I know me and with my story, at times I can hold, you know, how hard it is for me or how, you know, I've had a hard story in some ways, but, you know, that makes me special. It can be, you know, who's the most wrong, too, not who's the most right, you know?
Right, right. That's, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. It can work both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've suffered more or, any story like that for sure.
It
can set us apart.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Thank you for highlighting that. I think that's important to keep in mind. Oh, cool. Okay. Let's read another paragraph. Now you are merely asked that you pursue another goal with far less vigilance, with little effort, and with little time, and with the power of God maintaining it and promising success. I'm underlining that, promising success. Yet of the two, it is this one you find more difficult. The sacrifice of self you understand, nor do you deem this cost too heavy. But a tiny willingness, a nod to God, a greeting to the Christ in you, you find a burden wearisome and tedious, too heavy to be borne. Yet for the dedication to truth as God established it, no sacrifice is asked, no strain called forth, and all the power of heaven and the might of truth itself is given to provide the means and guarantee the goal's accomplishment. So here we are, asked to pursue another goal that is much easier with way less effort than all the effort we've exerted at being special and maintaining specialness and shutting out light and being right and all that good stuff. way less effort, far less vigilance, with the power of God maintaining it and promising success. This is saying that we found, you know, wearisome and tedious, and however, obviously, it's, we're all at this point where, you know, we're here for, because we get this. We totally get this and are willing to learn how to make that choice for God instead and look at the ways as they arise that we might still want to shut God out. I love just how it says promising success, guarantee the goal's accomplishment. It's pretty clear. And as Earl Purdy has said before, and I'll echo now, that what the Course, you know, whatever it says, it means it. Anything else coming up for anybody? All right, let's read the last paragraph in this section. You who believe it easier to see your brother's body than his holiness, be sure you understand what made this judgment. Here is the voice of specialness heard clearly, judging against the Christ and setting forth for you the purpose that you can attain and what you cannot do. Forget not that this judgment must apply to what you do with it as your ally. For what you do through Christ, it does not know. To him, this judgment makes no sense at all, for only what the Father wills is possible, and there is no alternative for him to see. Out of his lack of conflict comes your peace, and from his purpose comes the means for effortless accomplishment and rest. Paula, did you know that we were going to read effortless accomplishment tonight? Did you look ahead?
Isn't this cool? It totally dovetails with today's workbook lesson. I'm blown away by this.
I love it.
You know, I feel so supported. I really do.
Yeah.
That's
pretty awesome. Right?
Yes. That is totally awesome. I think I'm gonna copy these two pages and bring them to work with me tomorrow.
Good idea. I think I may have mentioned before that my mom used to write her lesson on a Band-Aid and wear it on her hand, so she had it with her all throughout the day.
I think I need the whole book tattooed on.
Yeah. Like a teleprompter, like constantly rolling.
Oh, my God.
Behind our eyelids. So I'm wondering, anybody has anything that has come up for you or any questions or comments or insights, any sentences that have stood out to you? Now's a good time to chat.
Hey, Corinne. It's Mayella.
Hi, Mayella. How are you?
Hi, Dan. Well, good. Hello, everyone. Actually just had a question about kind of etiquette. I'm not sure when, like, to share something and when not to share. I hear you, Corinne, often mention, and some other people mention sometimes, say, I feel called to share this or something like that.
Uh-huh.
What does that really mean?
Ooh,
like,
I love that question.
Like, how do you know when something is, you know, like, how do you feel that little inkling to share? Because I feel it, but sometimes I don't know if it's my ego, I just want to share, like I'm reacting, or if it's really something that, you know, I should
share. Yeah, Mayella, what a great question. I wish Deidre was here, too, because I know she said that before about, you know, feeling prompted or feeling called, you know, to share something. There is definitely, you know, a nudge, an urge that can come up from guidance, and there's definitely a nudge or an urge that could be coming from ego. So how do you tell the difference? You know, you're absolutely right, and that's a question really of discernment and practicing with distinguishing between, you know, what is guidance and what is just like an urge from the ego. And If anybody else wants to answer this, please jump in, but I'll share my thoughts
well,
first.
Well, it just, you know what, it seems to me that you can't get it wrong. You can't worry about being wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
well, that's
if,
where,
if
yeah,
you're constantly trying to self-edit,
mm-hmm.
I don't think anything can get accomplished.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's definitely a very valid point, that it, we can totally tie ourselves up in worrying, you know, well, which voice is it? Is this guidance or is it not?
Okay.
And we can do what we feel we need to do, but as I said before, as long as we're giving everything to the Holy Spirit, we can trust that it will be repurposed and that the ego will fall away. So that's definitely a very valid perspective. Another, I'll just speak from my own experience, that when I feel called to share something, and now I'm speaking from guidance, when I feel that it's like guidance coming through, the best way that I can describe it is that it feels, you know, when, have you ever been in like a tunnel or some kind of room that has like really cool acoustics, and when you sing a note, it like reverberates and almost starts sounding louder than it actually is? It's like a resonance. It,
like an echo?
Not really an echo, but like, does anybody know how to explain like a sound of like when something's like really, maybe resonance isn't the right word. I feel this, it's so hard to put into words. It feels like a feeling of resonance in my core that feels peaceful and calm and joyous, and like it's got a flow. There's a flow to it. When it's ego, for me, there's usually like an urgency to it, or a need to be heard or a need to be seen in some way. So there's definitely a difference that we can, you know, use discernment and practice where is that coming from. But like Paula said, ultimately, we really don't have to worry about it. Does anybody else want to put your two cents
in? One other thing, though, Corinne, it's what is your intention? You know, the intention, I know a lot of times whenever I share, it's always to be helpful, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And however you perceive it is really your business. But on some level, it's always helpful to me to at least put it out there and then hear what other people have to say, you know? Okay. But the intention is always to be helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. But I think the bottom line answer is really what Paula said, that, you know, we always turn to the Holy Spirit and do what you feel that you feel moved to do, and as long as we're practicing, which we all are, this giving to Holy Spirit, you know, we can just trust that everything is as it should be, and we can practice listening. One of the ways, okay, here's another little tip of how I can tell sometimes. There's that urge that comes up to share, and I might not share it right away. You know, I'm gonna pause and just sort of be with a feeling. And if it persists in like, you know, I need to get this out, definitely get it out, you know, share it. Again, can I be fully confident that it's coming from the ego or spirit? Maybe not, because I think either way you could have that urge to share. But again, you can do so with that repurposing. You know, I feel like I'm not being super clear. Does anybody else want to put their two cents in for how this works for you?
Miranda?
Sorry.
I think I heard, did I hear Susan and then Carol?
Yes,
I think
go
that's
ahead.
What I heard.
Susan did.
Okay, Susan first.
Very short. Just that I think it's impossible to know, but we are, as you said, we're all in this together and we're all working for the greater good. And I trust that if I do that sharing, it's a little too much, that somebody will correct me or head me off. I hope you will.
That's well, cutting people off is not my strong point.
Well, I didn't know that's too harsh. You would never do that. But I mean, a little gentle guidance and correction.
Gentle. Okay, I can do gentle for sure.
Okay.
thank you,
yeah.
Susan.
Thank you.
Yeah, gentle I can definitely do. Did I hear Carol also?
Yes. Hi, Corinne. I really appreciate, you know, the question or the comment. For me, I know last week when you were sharing about needing sleep or being tired, you know, doing your audio book, and Pat and I both looked at each other like we could relate wholeheartedly about the sleep deprivation. And then there was something else that was brought up throughout the conversation of the reading, and I was just so moved to share about what had been going on with our dog Faith, and we were so moved by everybody sharing that Pat kept talking about it throughout the week. He was talking about Deidre, he was talking about, you know, the guidance that we were getting. And so there was no accident that for us that we were supposed to bring it up. It was definitely divine that we were part of the call and that we were experiencing so much support all week. And, I mean, we just felt so uplifted, I guess is a way to put it.
That's awesome, Carol. That's really awesome. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, no mistakes. No mistakes. And that's I like to take that perspective because I just, again, the Course says we're already home. This is already done. As Paula always says, you can't get it wrong. as long as we're repurposing, willing to repurpose everything, not even consciously in the moment, but at some point, which we all have been, and I know we'll touch that time and time again, we can just trust. We can just trust. Mm-hmm. So I want to circle back to you, Mayella. Did that sort of touch upon your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to see what your and the group's process was. I've always just struggled with that. I just second guess myself often, and I've actually had to listen more. I'm a talker, so I miss a lot too sometimes because I don't listen, and I'm trying to just, you know, really just kind of listen and sit with things and not have really an answer right away. It just, you know, an answer is almost like, I feel like sometimes having the answer for me has been just a little bit, I kind of overestimate it actually. Because the real answers kind of settle over time and they just kind of compound.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, well, I guess I don't know. I'm just an inquiry of my own process. And then when I call in, sometimes I do want to share, but other times I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm just reacting because I also tend to like to take care of people sometimes. And I'm not really taking care of myself. So I'm like, no, I'll call you for me to take care of myself. So so anyways,
Yeah, well, Mayella, I love what you said because we have to do that questioning. That inquiry of your own process is beautiful, and I think we all need to do that. Literally, that's part of questioning everything. And so if we know that we're a talker, listening is part of our spiritual practice. You know, mm-hmm. If we know we tend to miss things because we're talking or whatever, then listening becomes part of our spiritual practice. And what are we asked to do? But we are asked to listen to guidance. And so then listening, you know, in a group or in conversation, practicing listening in the external form level will help us, you know, listen to that voice within. It's a skill that we learn how to do. And there's an acronym, I'm sure you've all heard of this. It's called WAIT. Why am I talking? It's kind of a way of just pausing and questioning, you know, okay, why am I talking? You know, why do I want to share this? Quick example. This is probably like 2008, somewhere around there, and it was when I was a full-time therapist, and I had a really challenging year with a very, very heavy caseload. And I remember sitting with a client, and they were talking about their problems, and I had the urge, and I did not do this, just to be clear. I did not say a word, but I had the urge come up in me to want to be like, you know, you think you have it bad, honey. Like, let me tell you. And I just wanted to start talking, and I didn't, but I questioned why, you know, why did I just have that urge? And that helped me see just how I was in a very bad state of you know, self-care and getting burnt out and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. So I think it can be really a really good practice to question, to have that inquiry of your own process. So I love how you said that. And I also love how you said that real answers settle. You know, they settle themselves. You have the question. Maybe it's a situation in your life. I've been through this a number of times recently where I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to do. And I wait and wait and listen and wait and wait and wait. And it just works out. It just settles. The answer just happens. It wasn't like I had to, you know, spend hours trying to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Awesome. Anybody else? Any final comments or questions before we wrap up for the evening? We'll be starting a new section next week, which is always exciting. All right. Sounds like we're good. Thank you all so much for taking the time to come. I love you all, and we'll see you again next week.
We love you.
Have a good week, everybody. Love you.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.